to Ephesians 5. Kind of in between series now, and I did run across an old book of outlines that I had on studies in typology by Berlin Heisel, who was one-time pastor at First Baptist in Harrison, Ohio, and also South Irvine Baptist Church. He was a teacher at Lexington Baptist College for several years, and I'm thinking about going through that series on types. A lot of it has to do with the typology of Christ, types relating to Christ. But I haven't decided yet on that. So while we're in between, I came up with this. Turn with me. Are you there? In chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. The message is entitled, Warnings About Words. I had thought about calling it, Watch Your Mouth, but I thought that might be a little harsh for the sermon audio audience, if anybody listens to this. So I cleaned it up a little bit. Warnings about words. This verse contains both a command and a warning concerning our words and our inward thoughts. And they are very intricately linked together. What you think about and what you say. We're commanded to be guarded, to be cautious with the words that proceed out of our mouth. The Hebrew word for rash is bahar, and it conveys the idea of speaking hastily without thinking or saying something quickly by reacting out of fear or irritation or agitation. So think about the definition of this word rash, the Hebrew word bahar, speaking hastily without thinking or saying something quickly by reacting out of fear or agitation. And I think of somebody who was guilty of this at great cost to himself. It was Moses. The Bible comments on the actions of Moses when he talked to the children of Israel and he smote the rock twice. It says in Psalm 106, verse 32 and 33, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. And I know I had thought of that before, but not in relationship to this verse. It cost Moses, in the providence of God, in the laws of sowing and reaping, when he reacted to the unbelief and the murmuring of the children of Israel. And when I think about what happened in this case, and he smote the rock twice, I think to myself, I probably would have done the same thing. I mean, he had to put up with a lot of murmuring, a lot of questions about his leadership, and he spake unadvisedly, it says, with his lips. He spoke rashly. And what did it cost him? This great man of God, the one that God revealed himself to, he gave the law to, all of the truth about the tabernacle, the furniture, the offerings, all of that was revealed by God to Moses. And yet, this time when he spoke unadvisedly, when he was irritated and he reacted like we've all done at some time or another in our life, God said, you're not going into the promised land because of what you've done. So there is an instance where rash words that were not well thought out cost Moses. It prevented him from leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And as I said, if I think about myself, I think about the way that I'm wired, and I may have said something even worse than Moses did. What a lesson for all of us not to speak reactively, flippantly, or haphazardly without thinking things through. It would do us well to remember that there are consequences for idle speech. And this is really convicting for me because right before church tonight, Josh came home and me and him were going back and forth and just words without any meaning. It was stupid. We were just kidding around. And then I got to thinking, man, I've prepared this message tonight about warnings about words. But I blamed it all on Josh. I went in and Tammy was watching the news. I said, your son has just made me mess up my whole sermon and I don't have to confess it to the people. But a lot of times we say things we don't think about. And here's what Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And here's the convicting part of this. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And again, there is an important connection Jesus makes. He connects our words to our inward thoughts, to the desires of our hearts. What we say is often predicated upon what we think intellectually and what we feel emotionally. A lot of what we say depends on what's inside of us. So it behooves us to keep our inward desires, our thoughts, and our emotions in check. If we would truly apply these principles to our thoughts and our speech, we could eliminate gossip, tale-bearing, lying, vulgarity, mean-spirited attitudes, and just general frivolity. Now, you know, I joke around a lot until I get convicted about it. Look what it says there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Again, this addresses our speech. Now this command in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2 and warning has to be viewed in a certain way. And I think it adds magnitude to the command. Because it says very clearly, be not rash with thy mouth, And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything, notice, before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. Started thinking about this today. How often do we say things without any thought of God whatsoever? We say it, but we don't acknowledge that God, our sovereign, sits in majesty, who sees, hears, knows everything that we do, everything that we say. So when we speak, we should do so with a view to the majesty, the sovereignty, and the omniscience of God. And I think that would really have a way of tamping us down in our speech and being more careful about what we said if we realize God is a witness to what we're saying, how we're saying it. Our God is an all-knowing sovereign who sees and hears all that we do, all that we say. It says in Proverbs 15, 3 and 4, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I always quote that verse. But I never quote verse 4 with it until I started studying this out. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. It's not coincidental that Solomon writes here in Ecclesiastes 5:2 about the sovereignty, the majesty, the omnipresence and omniscience of God, and also in Proverbs 16, a verse, chapter 16, verse 3, that I always use dealing with omniscience. But I never connected verse 4 with verse 3. And it's right there. It talks about a wholesome tongue or perverseness of speech. And it has to do with us talking, speaking before God. So in order to obey this command, in order to heed this warning in Scripture, we have to live with a sense of awe and reverence as we consider that our great God is actively reviewing everything we think, everything we say, everything we do, how we do it. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now you want to know a standard that I think that we ought to apply that I fear that we don't think of that often. Everything we think, say, and do ought to be regulated by the immutable standard of Colossians 3:17. Listen to this carefully. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In word and deed, do all in His name. And while you're doing it, you ought to be able to thank God for what you're saying or what you're doing. It ought to be thankworthy. And I tell you what, when you really apply that standard and combine it with the warning in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 about words, it really narrows things down quite a bit, doesn't it? Now, there's another thing that we're taught here. He not only warns us about not being rash with our words, not saying things without thinking, We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't speak reactively or out of agitation or irritation. Now let's face it. Think about how many times in your life when you've said something stupid that you shouldn't have said. You know you shouldn't have said it. Immediately after you said it, you felt convicted about it. And I like that old proverb says, words are like shotgun blasts. Once you shoot off your mouth, you can't bring them back. Now, you can apologize for them, but they can still do a lot of damage. And that's what this verse is teaching. So we're not just to obey the command, be not rash with your mouth, but we're to speak in light of God's omnipresence and omniscience, His majesty, His sovereignty, the fact that He sees everything we do and that we will be held accountable for our words. But we're also admonished not to talk so much. Look there what it says in Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. We're admonished not to talk so much in the light of the sovereignty and the omniscience of God by this phrase, therefore let thy words be few. Meaning that when we do speak, we should do so thoughtfully. We should do so carefully. Our words should be aimed at glorifying God and edifying those who we are speaking to with a sincere desire not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. I am imagining that this verse and this message tonight is especially convicting to my son. My son talks for a living. That's what he does. People call in and he has to talk them into staying as a customer. And every day my son comes home, or not, he comes to our home because him and the kids eat dinner at our house about every night. And he always tells us certain things how he saved customers that day, what he said, and little tricks that he has. And the latest one is when older people call, he just mentions Cracker Barrel. Because he's learned that older people just love Cracker Barrel. Their food, their air conditioning, everything. And I got to thinking, I wonder how edifying that is when they're on the other end. And I've just given away a trade secret of his. So if any of you call customer service and somebody starts talking about Cracker Barrel, you know why now. Because, I mean, who doesn't love Cracker Barrel, right? You know? Look what this says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here's our standard. Speak truth with your neighbor. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. These principles should govern all of our speech. including our everyday conversation, prayer, witnessing, interaction with our families, with church members, and in the workplace. That's a broad spectrum here. You know, David asked the Lord to put a guard upon his mouth in Psalms. But how much heartache could be avoided if we would speak truth to our neighbor and put away all bitterness, all malice. And you know, it seems like I always go back to this verse whenever I'm dealing with some practical subject. And let's face it, how practical is this? This is something you do every day. You talk every single day. And we're going to give account of what we say, how we say it. So how best can we govern what we think about and what we say? And I seem to always go back to that verse, that passage in Psalm 19, 13 and 14, where David says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So in order to obey this command and heed this warning, we've got to learn to pray like David did. And then put some feet to our prayers. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." All right, let's go to God in prayer tonight. Since we featured Brother Bert Kraft, his family tonight, we'll have special prayer tonight.